Did you eat breakfast yet?
I did.
What did you have?
One of those little Jimmy Dean sausage and egg sandwiches.
I was so busy today. I haven't had a chance to eat yet.
How's your energy feel, though, if you fast a little bit?
I mean, the same.
Does it?
I don't know. Maybe I feel good. I'm feeling good, guys. This is me on no food yet. Fasting energy.
Well, you look good. You got dressed for the occasion.
Thank you. You know, it's crazy because I have a girlfriend from high school. Her name's Diana, and she's worked in fashion forever in New York. And she hit me up on IG of all places. She's like, oh my gosh, I work for Walter Baker. Like, we'd love to send you some stuff. And I was looking at the stuff, and I said, yes, please. So thank you, Walter Baker and Diana. Love you.
That's great. I have about six shirts that I'm just cycling through, and I did find this today. I can't wear it outside. It's too hot, but in here it's great.
It looks great. I told you, though, that we got to go like on Amazon and just get you a bunch of solid shirts or maybe some button-ups.
I think button-ups or some polos. Because once we switch, you kind of have the ability, once we switch studios, to make a different, you know, yeah. To make it a little different. I still think I'm going to wear basketball shorts because you're only going to see the waist up. But maybe I'll do, you know what I like more than button-downs are the golf shirts, the polos.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my favorite. If I could do, but then
maybe
they also have to.
Light.
Yeah, they got to fit well in the, yeah, maybe we'll find, but they're usually kind of pricey, but maybe I can find. A
like,
deal where you get, you know, three for $60 or something, and I can buy like nine of them and then just cycle through.
Do you remember any time we vacation in the past, you have this character and his name's Vacation Dad?
Oh, yeah.
And he really dresses for the occasion. He'll wear like those crazy Hawaiian shirts, always hats. And I like to see like a vacation or a Florida Fred.
We'll see what I come up with.
Yeah.
Florida Fred.
Florida Fred.
I like that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, let's hop into it.
Woo-hoo.
Welcome, everyone, to the Freddie and Alyssa Show. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe, like, comment, all that fun YouTube stuff. If you're on Facebook and you want to like and follow the page, that would be awesome. If you're listening on a platform like iTunes and you want to leave us a 5-star review, that would be amazing. Guess what? We've been putting up content now for 3 years. So if you want to do some friendly stalking, please feel free to do so on YouTube or Facebook or both. And then I want to give a couple shout outs before we hop into it today to our new members and producers. I like to name a few every single week. So Rosemary, you are first. Rosemary Chepkoski, Don Dorward, Ann Smithers, Scott Tinsley, Karen Laval, and DDS2977.
Woo!
Welcome, welcome. If you're interested in more exclusive content, including our Fueled Up episodes and our last Sunday of every month live, mm-hmm. And you want access to behind the scenes and all this other stuff, we have a members program where it's a contribution of $10 a month. You can do so on YouTube and or Facebook by hitting the join on YouTube or support now on Facebook. And if that's something you want to do, you can check that out. Links are in the description. And speaking of Sundays, live mm-hmm. is going to be kind of crazy because the whole studio is going to be torn down. So we have to figure out where we're going to do that.
Oh, no.
We might just be sitting on the floor.
Oh, man. You guys are going to see the real life of Freddie and Alyssa as we move. It's going to be legit just.
It'll be episode Freddie and Alyssa Show in between the boxes. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, things are coming along. I think pretty much we did the last thing we had to, which was the most tedious thing yesterday.
All
when it comes
calls.
To the move. Yeah, we had to, because you handled.
I did AT&T and Spectrum because we had to have two different internets here because this building, for whatever reason, AT&T isn't that strong of internet here. And once we got AT&T, I called the landlord. I go, hey, what's up? What do we use? It's not working. He's like, oh, yeah, I use Spectrum. So we have two, just in case as well, because we're always uploading stuff with the podcast. You kind of should have two.
Well, for uploading.
For
because if you're uploading something or editing and I'm doing the same, and we upload so many gigs that it takes a lot of power. So we had to do Spectrum for uploading. Then we have your Alyssa internet for like streaming Netflix and everyday stuff. So we kind of have two going, but... we need to just get one internet next time because I don't like paying for two. It's obnoxious.
I know. And then I had to do water and power, the gas. But as I was sitting there making all of these calls, I was like, man, you kind of forget when you move just how many extra little MISC details you have. And this is what's so crazy about making these calls. Why can't you just go to the website and quickly press cancel? Like, you have to wait on the phone for like 20 minutes and then they transfer you to different departments and then you try so hard to talk to the automated system, but it never works.
No, it's got to be more simple. Yeah.
But what could they do?
I mean, just everything. It just needs to integrate. It's very simple. Turn off, turn on service.
Right.
Just a click of a button and then you get an email notification saying here's the what you need to send back through UPS. So for what, unless they're trying to sell you or keep you on, maybe there's a reason for the, or they're just behind, but they're a technology company, so you think they wouldn't be.
You nailed it on the head right there, because a lot, they all asked, well, what's your new address? Do you guys?
That's why.
That makes so much sense. They'd probably lose so much business.
Yeah.
If it was just, because you always feel bad. I'm like, oh, we don't know it yet. They're like, are you sure you don't want to just pause it for a couple months? I'm like, no, let's just cancel. Oh, but you won't get the same deal.
And it's like, we will.
Maybe even better.
Yeah, we'll just go to a different company. It's like, it's such a, everything is such a sales tactic. You can always tell by the people who work for commission, and we worked for commission for many years, so I'm not knocking on it. I get it, and I love it. I actually, like, would sell mattresses or cars. Like, I'd love that kind of stuff. Or booking, like, certain clients. But you can tell, and when you have done sales and marketing, you can tell what tactics people are using with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and go, good job, but I also get what you're doing. And I appreciate the hard work and you're real good at this, but
yeah.
I just want to call and get a quote. But I mean, when I was calling the moving companies, you're going to get, hey, what's going on? I'm Sam. What's your name, Freddie? Oh, that's great, man. How's your day going out there? I'm like, oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm just calling to get a quote. Well, I'm going to give you a quote here. It's going to be great. Let me look at my computer here. Oh, these computers, let me tell you. You ever have? And then they try to build this relationship with you, which is what you do in sales, because you buy from people that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know, when you've read all the books, when you've become proficient in it,
right,
you are kind of thrown off when you go, good job. And then I almost appreciated the woman who didn't care. Because what can I help you? Yeah, here's your quote. It's going to be $4,700. I go, okay, well, I'll call you back if I decide to go with you. She goes, all right, thank you. And, like, didn't care. Didn't go with her. I ended up going with the guy that was really nice and built a good rapport, but he also didn't follow up with me like a lunatic. There are still, I blocked numbers, there are still moving companies after a month now that are calling me twice a week and leaving voicemails.
That's what happened to me about 3 months ago. I started looking just at real estate in Florida, and they get you on these websites. They're like, oh, put your info in and you can have access to see this, the MLS. And I was like, okay, there's this one woman I showed you the other day. She texts me nonstop, and I told her, I go, look, we were just looking. I'll let you know if we're moving there. Please, no need for any more texts or emails. She goes, okay, no problem, but just know I'm always here. Then a couple weeks later, she goes, I just want to let you know, even if you move here way in the future, I'm always here for my clients. I have some clients that for years they don't buy, and then when they do, I'm here. And she continues to hit me up.
You can't, when you see through it, and that is the biggest thing in sales and marketing in any sort of business, is the sleight of hand, is that you don't want people to see your tactic. You know what I mean? And she's using, like, she sent you a message. Hey, just updating my records.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not. No, you're not. That just sounds good. That just sounds good. There were times when we were in sales, you would hit people up on their birthday, or you would comment on like a photo. And you'd say, oh, my gosh, your baby's growing up so fast. And then they start talking to you. So the psychology of it isn't that you reached out to them and say, hey, I'm selling mattresses. Do you want one? You kind of threw out the fishing line there. You start this conversation. And if it leads to something organic, you can bring up what's going on. But it's funny when you see what people do. And you have to learn these days to build a brand and have people come to you.
100%.
I would never be in hard sales. And that's the biggest thing about online sales, is you have to go and find your clients unless you can build a brand where people come to you.
Yep.
Because if you live, like, if you work at a mattress store and you're selling mattresses or you're selling cars, people are coming into the mattress store to buy a mattress. People are coming to you. That is an advantage. So when you're doing an online sale or even with real estate, you need to provide massive value through a blog, a podcast, or Instagram video content where you're showing people five tips of how to sell a house or when buying a house, five pitfalls to look out for.
Right.
And even when we were looking up in Sarasota, there were people providing tours of Sarasota that we watched.
Yeah.
We enjoyed them on camera. And at the very end of the video, they go, if you have any questions, hit me up at Sarah Kinley, mm-hmm. you know, real estate. And you're like, well, she did provide a lot of value by showing yeah. me all the cool spots in Sarasota. I felt she was friendly and genuine.
I feel like you know them.
So I'm going to hit her up rather than me just Googling and clicking on the top ad that comes up for Sarasota real estate.
It's crazy, too, because I feel like everyone you know knows a real estate agent.
Oh, yeah.
Like when people start talking about, yeah, we're looking, they're like, oh, you have to meet my friend. Oh, this sibling. Oh, this aunt, this uncle, this sister-in-law. It just, everyone does it.
I would, what are you going to say? Sorry.
No, you're
no, first. I was going to say, I would love to do real estate. My only, I just think it's fascinating. Like, I think if we brought our skill set to a new market and learned it and did it well, but I don't want to do the tedious part, which all real estate agents who are listening are like, yeah, you mean the showing the places to showing 32 houses and they don't. But I also wouldn't enjoy the being on call.
Yeah.
Because we did that for 4 years when we were in sales. And I can't even imagine when you're selling a house. Like, we were selling health and beauty. So imagine somebody buying a purchase of like a house. If you're at dinner and there's a client who's going to put an offer in on this $400,000 home,
right?
You have to leave dinner because that's like a, what's a 3% of that, 10, 40, like around $12,000 commission.
But what do you think the process is like when you first get into real estate? And obviously you want to get the great properties that you're going to get a really big commission. How do you think it is going into luxury, like selling Sunset? I mean, obviously that's luxury real estate. But do you think that just knowing people or having the right mentors that kind of are like, hey, this is how you do it? Because I can't imagine getting a license tomorrow and we're like, okay, how do we get the biggest listings? How does that work? And if you know, let us know.
I think it's, if I had to guess, I'm not an expert at all. I've spent zero time on real estate agent, like in that department of learning about that, even though I'm interested in it in general. I think it's like anything. Like if someone says, well, how do you build a podcast? It's like, well, you know, like we know Deidre Hall.
Right.
So having Deidre Hall as a guest on our podcast elevated our podcast. Hmm. How did we have Deidre Hall? Because we know her. If your aunt is selling a $1.2 million house and you sell your aunt's house for $1.2 million, now you have a $1.2 million home on your resume that you've sold. You have the pictures of it. You got that big commission. You're able to... So right. I think it's a lot of who you know, then it's the marketing of it. It's hitting up, you know, knocking on doors, it's sending out flyers. We would do it all online. We would build a brand. Mm-hmm. We would become, as Gary Vee says, the mayors of whatever town we're in, go fix potholes, run ads to the people, mm-hmm. showing that you're fixing potholes, that you're painting, like just become the mayor, air quotes, of a town so that people, you can kind of be a micro celebrity in that town mm-hmm. and you just add value. A new restaurant comes in, you go and interview the new restaurant for free. Yeah. You put it out online. Now the restaurant owner knows you. You've added value and given him free marketing. Then you run an ad on Facebook to people who live within a 25-mile radius of that place.
Right.
Now people say, oh, Freddie and Lissa are real estate agents. I'm looking for a house. Maybe I'll hit them up. Then you have to know how to have your personal skills. Because that's to be a podcaster, to be any kind of salesman, real estate agent, anything,
mm-hmm.
the work is the relationship skills that you have with people.
Yeah.
If you know how to communicate, make people feel good, and people can trust you and you're a genuine, authentic person, people are going to do business with you.
Yep.
That is the hardest thing that people... I think on paper, you take a real estate test, there's a house, you learn it, you go sell it. And I think all real estate agents, if you're listening too, I think you'll agree, it's the work is the belly-to-belly, mm-hmm. It's the relationship with the person. I think the other stuff anyone can learn.
Sure.
But why do 90% of real estate agents never make a living doing it or whatever the percentage? I'm sure it's not much.
Right.
I'm sure people can make a living, but actual like maybe a... higher, you know, income kind of thing is probably rare because you have to build people skills and you have to be a hustler.
What is that noise? There have been a lot of noises lately in this house. Remember two nights ago? We woke up, I almost thought like something sketchy was happening. There's a huge just boom on the floor. It woke us up.
And then I kind of like was walking around the apartment.
I made you. I go, babe, you gotta go check.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, it was like, well, even like the neighbor, we had no neighbor across the hall for 2 months. And so someone just moved, someone moved in. And I think it's a family. I've never even seen them, yeah, to be honest with you. I'm glad we don't, because if someone irritates you and you see what they look like, then anyone that resembles that person in the future, you like instantly don't like right away.
Isn't that weird?
He's a speakerphone talker. And I just, I'm a very patient man. Why do people talk on their speakerphone in public? And he talks in the hallway where it's echoing through. Why don't you put the phone up to your head and talk? We don't want to hear what's going on.
Or get some earbuds.
Yeah.
Like, if that's your thing and you're on the phone all the time, get some earbuds. Get a Bluetooth. Be that guy. I'd rather you be that guy.
Oh, the Bluetooth. Yeah, that's normal now.
Go get it.
But yeah, it's just like, it's so crazy. And it's funny how I'm so grateful because, like, I'm so grateful that we had the best experience here, though. Like, other than like one neighbor when we first moved in that was a little loud, everyone else has been great. Yep. And just now it's starting to get just messy, and it's start, like, even somebody had this garbage bag and they dripped a trail of like whatever sauce,
God knows what,
all down our hallway. And
is that what's out there?
Yeah. And I looked at it and I go, oh, well, they'll probably like come back and clean this up. They haven't. It's been 4 days. I go, you live in this building spending almost $3,000 a month to live here, and you don't even have the common decency to clean up after yourself in a communal building where there's only how many units here? 20?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even respect. And that's why people, it's so crazy. People wonder why the world's on fire, literally and figuratively. People can't even keep their own community clean and treat people with respect. Like, anytime I clean up his pads out on the balcony, yeah, and my hands are full of like pee and I put it in the bag, when I bring it to the trash chute, because it's like pee on my fingers, I take a Clorox wipe and I wipe down the communal,
yes,
door,
yes,
that we touch, that I touch, because I'm like, this is dog urine that's been sitting outside. Now, if it's just regular trash, no, because the trash chute's dirty.
Sure.
But if I have like pee on my hands, I'm going to be respectful to my fellow neighbors. And then that same trash chute, this building sometimes will have, the dumpster will get full,
uh-huh,
and it gets clogged. So when we're on the first floor, so if you open up the trash chute and the dumpster's full, the trash, we can't put it in the trash chute because the trash chute is backed up. There are people on our floor that will smash the bags into the chute when it clearly can't go anywhere. And then the door's open and it smells everything up like garbage, or they'll set it outside in the hallway, go to the elevator, go downstairs, open up the dumpster room, and set the trash in the dumpster room.
What is that? Lazy? Unaware?
I think it's everything. I think it's unaware. It's selfish. It is a lack of respect,
uh-huh,
when it comes to... I just don't see why that isn't common sense.
There have been a couple times where we've had to leave our trash inside, like during a holiday weekend, because the trash chute will be clogged, and then we go downstairs and it's just completely clogged.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, I mean, what else can we do with it? I'm not just going to let it build up, and we keep it inside for another day.
Yeah, it's just being considerate.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know where we went that side tangent, but to finish up
the knocking or whatever.
Yeah, I've never heard
there.
That before.
Six more days, 5 more days when you guys watch this, right?
Yeah, it's just time. I mean, I need a cleanse of people.
Yeah.
You know, and for everybody who's listening, after you listen to this, or if you're able to, if you have a backyard and you can walk outside barefoot and just stare at the sun and feel the grass on your feet and have no mask on and just be in the privacy of your home and you're hanging out with your dog, like, be so grateful, uh-huh, because yeah, we might have some access here in Los Angeles, but you miss a lot of the little things in life,
sure,
that you forget about, and just never having privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who wants to be woken up at 3 a.m? Like, who wants to, mm-hmm, hear that, like, the place next door, you hear the dumpster all the time, or you hear the car alarms, or you hear, like, it's just a crazy world. And like, I just need a cleanse because I'm at my breaking point. And this banging and all that trash horse shit, and then this speaker guy phone, is just, I'm just
he
over
is
it.
Fed up.
I'm just fed up.
You just need a cleanse, a nice little road trip, and a beautiful Florida home with sunshine.
That's what I need. And but just not to let this hang, the we don't know anything about real estate. I don't know how it works and the parties and all that stuff. But what I want, though, is that there's like rumors going around in the Tabbitt family that there could be some sort of family real estate thing in the future. And I would just want to work together as a crew. Sister, dad, you and I, we do marketing and video content and the branding.
Yeah.
And they can do finding listing, showing like that. Yeah. But I think our expertise is the branding, marketing,
for
and
sure.
content creation. Like when we take photos of the house, do drone footage, like make the video stand out, be the mayors of the town and help the family. And then we just take whatever percentage is agreed upon.
You never know. It'd be such a fun project in the future to work on.
I just love the competition of selling.
You love sales.
Oh, I love it. Anytime someone had questions, I'm like, just give me the phone. Hey, what's going on? What's your name? Cheryl? Oh, that's so cool, Cheryl. It's very nice to meet you. How's your day going?
Didn't you shadow a car salesman when you were
17, yeah.
I would have loved to see you as a car salesman.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this TikTok video, and this guy who used to work at Michael Kors was on it, and he was basically definitely spilling the tea, if you will. And he was saying that when they have Black Friday, the night before the Black Friday, they'll up the prices. So you think you're getting 60% off, but really you're only getting 20% off. And I'm just like, oh.
Well, that's just genuine business.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. I think salesmen get a bad rap because they're showing tactics. There's a difference between a tactic and then being dishonest.
Right.
Like if you were misleading someone with your great salesmanship and you're building a false trust just to get the sale, it's important that you have to build trust to win the sale, but you got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing I was very proud that we always did.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because you never want to, because it's going to come back and bite you. If people aren't satisfied, then you have to deal with that. Like that's why now I'm just like, I was very much just,
yeah.
If you want to, great. If not, hey, all good. Because I'm not dealing with the repercussions later. Nope. I'm not getting the phone calls later. So, but yeah, I just love that, that if you're a selling a house or you're selling a car or you're selling something, you're in competition. You have to be the best.
Of course.
To win that customer so that they'll spend money with you and not a competitor.
That's very,
and
very
I love
true.
It.
He
I
loves
love
it. Do you think sales in a small town would probably be a lot easier because like everyone knows everyone?
I unless I'm mistaken, I believe in a smaller town we would do much better being able to make an imprint than if you tried to compete here in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
I think we would be eaten alive in Miami or San Francisco, New York. I think people do it. You'd have to dedicate, if we dedicate our life and knew that, hey, by the time we're 50, we want to be top real estate agents. Yes.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to make $60,000 to $150,000 our first year, I think we have a better shot in a mediocre sized town, bringing our expertise and our experience of life from traveling and everything. Sure. We might stand out to certain people. But I just don't want to be a manager. I don't want to be on call. And that's the one reason that we don't do any kind of sales anymore is because there's six people in my life that have my phone number. I have completely, I have this weird relationship with my phone now that I don't know if it's because we were in sales for 4 years that my phone rang every 15 minutes.
It is.
My phone never rings, ever. Everyone we book through the show, all my castmates, DM. DM all my friends. I have zero. If I knew I was doing sales right now and we had a call and I was like, oh, babe, we got to stop this podcast and then I got to talk or we're making a video. The sales portion of it, that's what would be terrible about real estate is that we would have to be on call all the time. And then you have to go and put on that show of like, hey, like, how are you? This house is great. Look at this TV. Look at this TV. And I'm making fun of it, but it's like, I get it.
Well, because we
do that if there weren't other options. Yeah. I think real estate is awesome, but I think real estate investing is going to be fun. Content creation is just, I've never felt more right
Yeah.
Still, when we talked about even acting, the one thing that was always off was this lack of control, that all you did was one thing.
Yeah.
You were hired to just say these lines. And I loved when I could do more and control it. And that's all content creation. We control our schedule. We control the content we put out. But all right, yeah, you got to get going here. But thank you, everyone. We're going to be back on Friday. And I'm going to be answering a very asked question.
Ooh,
and
dare I ask you what the question is?
Every now and then I like to leave a tease. Oh. We're so open. Let's leave a tease.
He wants a tease.
He wants a tease. So, but thank you, everyone, and we will see you on Friday.